It's so wonderful that we can come as a people of God, as a family, to celebrate God's kindness and generosity. You know, that He really deserves all the glory, whether things happen or things has yet to happen, God is in the midst of everything. Because He has promised us, I will not forget or forsake you, but I shall be with you. Amen. You know, and I think this is something for us as a church, that sometimes we gather here, we can sing, we can quote scripture, we can pray, but sometimes it's able to sense the tangible presence of God. You know, in a Celtic spirituality, they believe there's a thing called the thin place, T-H-I-N. The thin place is where they believe heaven meets the earth, where everyone in a split second, in a moment of worship, in a moment of prayer, they can sense the tangible presence of God. I'm not sure whether you guys are aware, but there are many times in our worship, if you are open to receive, you can sense the tangible presence of God. Amen? And why is this important? Because when you can sense the tangible presence of God as you worship Him, as you hear scripture being read, you know that you come to a place where nothing is impossible. You know that as you reach out to God, you reach out to Him, whatever you so desire, there is like a moment that faith, I will say this, okay, I like a good word to describe, that almost faith doesn't exist anymore. What you have is that you are fully persuaded. You know, sometimes we can say, as Christian, I believe God, I need to have faith for good weather tomorrow because I'm doing my laundry, or I believe in God that the traffic will be smooth because I'm late for work kind of thing. Like that's something we have to exercise faith. But when we enter into a thin place, or when we sense the tangible presence of God, we no longer say, Lord, I need faith. But like Paul, where he says in Romans, I'm fully persuaded. Fully persuaded is something about that relationship God invites us into to have the intimacy. For example, I hope all of us have a friend that you can call at 2 a.m. in the morning. Right? How many of you have such a friend? Don't call me at 2 a.m. I'm not your friend. No. That must be pastor. No. I'm not your friend. Now, the thing is this, is that if you know you're in dire straight, you know you're in a crisis, you can call this person. The first thing the person is, what can I do for you? You don't have to phrase your right word or ask or something or hope you say, did I call you at the right time? 2 a.m. is definitely not the right time. But you know the moment you call the person, or even as you call the person, you are so fully persuaded in that relationship that whatever you so ask, you're going to receive. And this is something we can see in Acts of the Apostle. One day when Peter and John went to pray and they saw this lame man who has been sitting outside this temple for 40 years, and he was a beggar. He was asking for something. And so Peter went to him, and this man was so used to receive pity, but here was Peter, very counterintuitive, saying, silver and gold I have none. Right, so this guy said, oh, disappointed. But say, what I have, I will give it to you. Say, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And this is where that whole climate or the atmosphere at that point became a team place where the tangible presence of God was there, that Peter could pour up what he have to that person who was suffering. And from that point on, the Bible says he leaped up and started dancing before God. And then the people gathered and began to preach. And Peter began to preach a sermon. And we look at the slide today. My sermon title is Times of Refreshing. All right, and this Acts chapter 3, verse 19 to 21, it says here, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that He may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all His holy prophets since the world began. Whether we understand this text or not, but you really understand it, Peter was saying something very prophetic. It was more than a sermon. He was telling the people of his time, the Jewish people, that all of us are in a prophetic timeline. From the beginning of creation to the glorification of the church at the last days, God has certain timelines, certain things he wants to bring. And we know that the gospel was hidden in the Old Testament, but then in the New Testament, it has been revealed. But he said that Jesus has come to give us life. But he said for you guys that you must come to repent. And repent is more than just repent from sin. Repent is to change your mind, to have a new thinking altogether. Because what Jesus was bringing was a different reality, a different kingdom, a different value, and a different laws. That's why people misunderstood Jesus. They were always upset or they were triggered by his words and action. But those who understood Jesus, those who pursue him, know that the kingdom that Jesus talks about is not of this world, but of the world that is to come. But the kingdom is also here, but not fully arrived. That's why we will say it's now and not yet. But Jesus said, as you follow me, and this is what Peter is saying to the people, as you follow me, your mind must keep on changing, because what you see cannot be the reality of what you see in this world, but you see something that you must change your mindset and be converted. So to be converted means is to give yourself fully for what is coming, to be fully persuaded. And he said that when you receive the Lord, he said times, plural, of refreshing will come. That means refreshing is nice. It means that like a hot day, right? Especially in Perth, we all, in summer it's so hot and we thank God for the free mental doctor. The breeze will just come, right? It's cool us down. And this refreshing means you are panting away, you are so hot, now you're suffering the humidity, and then there's a cold breeze that just come and refresh you. You know, and sometimes when the cold breeze kind of refresh you, you somehow pick up strength again. You're not so sleepy, you're not so tired. Suddenly you find a new energy. And this is where I said, God will send times of refreshing. And then Jesus will come. And before Jesus comes, he says here in verse 21, Jesus is now in heaven, but times of refreshing comes, there will be a restoration. Of some things, a few things, all things. Now, the word restoration have two meanings. Right? Sometimes you watch on television, restoring an old antique, right? And restoration, right? That means this thing is old, it's broken, and someone who is an expert will restore it back to working condition. But this is one way of understanding restoration. But in biblical kingdom term, restoration is given back to its rightful owner. If you are a king or a queen or you are a prince or princess, when you are restored to something, that means it was always rightly yours. It was lost, but now there's restoration. And we all know our restoration begins when Christ died for us and we will all make new creation. And that make new creation begin a whole process, a whole encounter of God again and again, that what was duly ours has been restored to us. How many of you always pray that you have more patience? All right, okay, good. This sermon is going to be 2 hours long. I'm going to help you. How many of us pray that we can be more kind or more loving? The truth is this, is the day you have the Spirit, you have all the love, all the joy, all the peace, all the goodness, kindness, all in you, it all has been given to back to you. But you need to encounter situation at that moment where that love will manifest, the patience will manifest. God has restored us all things. But this is what Ephesians says, every blessing has been given to us to our Lord Jesus Christ. But you and I, too often, we have been given gifts, by the Spirit, but all our gifts are still in the boxes. We have yet to unwrap it. We yet to take it out and use it. Right? The best rice cooker I bought is still in the box. The best vacuum cleaner I have is still in the box. So you're not going to have a meal, your house remains very dusty. It's because we have yet to unopen what God wants us to have. And this is something I want to share with you about what Luke records for us about times of refreshing. And sometimes we use in our common vernacular, revival, restoration, outpouring. Now, these are just words used to describe the intensity. Just like cheese. Cheese are just cheese. But then you have different names of cheese. Blue cheese, green cheese, cottage cheese, cheddar cheese. You can tell what kind of flavor you're going to get. It's just like you go to Nescafe, you buy all this coffee pot. It has different intensity as well. And imagine the word intenso means must be very intense. Even if you do not know Italian, intenso means tonight you can't sleep. As if you're born without eyelid at all, that kind of thing. So when you use words like refreshing or revival or pouring, don't get tripped over all these words. It's just about the intensity of the team place. That God, I know I have you already, but I want more of you. Because all of us already have 100% of the Holy Spirit. But the paradox is this, we still can have some more. We still can increase in the grace of God. And so, over the past many years being here, I tell you, now God connected me to Mark and Belle Godfrey, to Amit and Sky, to many people. I find that in the days to come, there is an intensity. God has put his heart in our hearts, his vision for this city and beyond. So people like Mark and Belle Godfrey has a heart for young people. Amit as well has for young people. I was sharing with you all a couple of weeks ago about the Gen Z is known as the anxious generation. And mental health problem is on the increase. It's because they are anxious. And it doesn't help. We have just moved from a global pandemic. We go through now a great financial crisis. And people look at what is happening in the political world. They know that it is not the answer. Lots of young people are looking for authentic encounters of God. Amen? Not encounters of God. And so, how do we understand, or how do we as a church, as a people of God, help to usher in this authentic experience of God? As I said before, we're not praying for revival because we are already entered into a place of revival. And what we need here as a people of God, because you and I have the Spirit, is not so much asking for revival to come, but we pray for deeper revelation of who God is. Going through the scripture, let's look at some slides before I get to what I want to point to you all. If we want to grow in the Lord, we all know we have to read the Bible. You're full of the word, you're full of God's will. Next slide, please, Dennis. All right. If you read the Old Testament, you discover everything about the Father. You read the New Testament, you discover everything about Jesus Christ. When you read Acts of the Apostle or the church, you discover everything about the Spirit. There's two non-negotiable for any church. That's how I feel. The two non-negotiable in terms of doctrine is we do not compromise the gospel of the kingdom. Amen? But neither do we not learn to grow in the doctrine of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And many times, most of us don't seem to know where are we heading or what we understand until we begin to read and study the scripture. Old Testament go beyond just reading about the laws, but the stories, the encounters, the poem, the prophecy always reveal the Father's heart. Look at the New Testament, especially the gospel, it reveals Jesus Christ. Look at the church, right? In Acts of the Apostle, it reveals the work of the Spirit. But the Father, the Son is not just revealed because remember, Jesus is staying in heaven until there is a restoration of all things. And this restoration has to do with your understanding and my understanding of how we perceive this revelation and apply in our lives. And this restoration of all things is more than just the Bible itself. Even in history, we can see prophetic timeline. things that's happening. Next slide, please. Let me explain to you. If you know history, right, the church of God over 1,000 or 2,000 years of history, it got a bit fat, F-A-T. Now, we're coming out of winter soon. Some of us got winter fat, and it's okay. But sometimes we also know if we have too much fat, it suppresses our organ, it'll cause health issue. This was what happened to the history of the church. It got fat with wrong doctrine, false belief. It got into a lot of things that was not in the scripture, but we practice it kind of thing. So people like Martin Luther came, and this was a great Protestant Reformation, right, in the 1600s. And what happened was Luther read Romans, and the text came out to him, therefore being justified by faith. But the whole verse is, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. But the revolution or the Reformation was sparked off by Martin Luther by half a scripture verse. Therefore, being justified by faith. Right? And that restored the church to who Jesus Christ is. Right? Because we all know now is how we get saved. And that launched into a great missionary movement, the great hymn, so-called the Golden Eras or hymn writing, almost back-to-back, 1701, 1707. Something happened. The church began to see the importance to bring the gospel across the globe. And people began to write great hymns that goes along. Must be a long voyage. That's why you must sing a lot of hymns, right? But some of these hymns were so inspiring because it talked about Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world. Fast forward, 1901, the Pentecostal movement, right? It stretched all the way to the 1960 where we have the Charismatic movement. What is the difference? Pentecostal movement, basically it talks about the experiencing the Holy Spirit in a very personal way. And what happened was this, that it brought back people to say that my faith is not just a logical faith or reasonable faith, but my faith is experiential. I not just hold on to doctrines, sound teaching, but I need to experience God in a very real and tangible way. And in the 1960s, right, we begin to see the Charismatic movement. And God began to move in a very powerful way, not just within a few people, but major denomination, whether they were Catholics or Baptists or Methodists, something really shook the church. I am so-called a child of the Charismatic movement, but the precursor was the Pentecostal movement. So what happened was this, what was ushered in was the so-called priesthood of all believers. There's no longer what we call a divide between clergy and lay people. You know what I mean? Clergy and laity. Every one of us have been given gifts by the Spirit. There's the restoration of the fivefold ministry. Now every one of us can serve the Lord. Amen? Right? It's not just the pastor here is the one doing all the heavy lifting and all you're just watching. Very good pastor. Clap, clap, clap. No, no, no. All of us are involved because we've been filled with the Spirit and something is stirring us to serve God. And then what happened was this, that for this 100 over years, God was stirring up believers. And then in the 1990s, three things happened, right? One is the Brownsville Revival, right? Happened in Pensacola, Florida, 1995, on Father's Day. And that restored the church, the Father's heart. And then we had what we call the Promise Keeper, happened also around the same time, in which men were learning about how to be fathers to their children, how to be men or good husband to their wives. There's a restoration of the father's love. And then what happened was this, the Grace Revolution, 1997, Pastor Joseph Prince started preaching the grace message, and he wasn't the only one. There were a lot of people doing it, but he's the most famous one of all. But through those move of God, believers are now ushered into what we call the era of sons and daughters. We are more than just serving God. You know what I mean? We serve God not as slaves. We're not serving to get earning something, but we serve from a privilege, from the platform as sons and daughters. Can I have a good amen? So God is restoring. And first, like for all this almost 16, 17 years, we always want to encourage people into what? Mission, because we understand, therefore, being justified by faith. We encourage people about being priesthood, all believers, to know your spiritual gifts, to know what God is calling you into, to exercise all the gifts that you have. Remember, last year, I told you all to go to the app, find your spiritual gift app, and that kind of thing, and start exercising it, and start finding out what you have. But much more than that, even today, as we worship, we do not worship as just Christians. We worship as sons and daughters of a Father who loves us. What is God doing? I shared with you all a couple of weeks ago. Ashbury is a university in Kentucky. Next slide, please. There was outpouring. And outpouring is just before a stirring. Just like you pour a bit of milk into your coffee, outpouring. But it's not yet the real intensity, but something happened in this Methodist university in Ashbury and happened in February 8th in 2023 when there was a Wednesday chapel meeting, and then the Spirit of God fall upon the people and things begin to move. And this event lasted for 16 days. Why? Because Ashbury is a small little town. And 50,000 just came within the next few days that the infrastructure couldn't support it. And so the authorities came to the university to shut down its meeting. But Ashbury itself believed they were not only one. Something else was happening. But this outpouring was important. It's because God is now saying, I'm going to restore some more. And God is restoring so-called the Gen Z in a sense. Because the last service that was held after 16 days was dedicated to the Gen Z was because they were the generation who needs to encounter God in a very real way. Because Gen Z want authenticity. The unfortunate truth is, church, we do not know authenticity. Let me explain why. When I was a teenager 2 years ago, right, we all know our boundaries very well, right? Ivy, just a couple of years older than me, you know our boundaries very well. We know the Catholics, we know the Baptists, we know the Presbyterian, we don't mix with them. We draw our boundaries very well. In fact, when Joanna was dating, she's Anglican. People were trying to stop us. It went all higher up to the bishop. Oh, Methodist, Anglican, not sure. But the boundaries was drawn so clearly that we understood each other's doctrine. So we said, you're Baptist, you like to soak people, right? Huh? No, we Methodists, we just do sprinkling, we'll do. No, we know each other's doctrine so well. But thank God we grew up from that childishness. As we more and more become kingdom-minded, we could mix and interact. There's no longer, so past 15, 20 years ago, there's no more this kind of boundary that, oh, we can mix around, or no, we need to be kosher in the way we do things. We take communion together, we worship God together, we find somewhere in the middle that everyone is not going to be impacted in the wrong way, but we come and worship the Lord. It's good. But I think we come to a place in the history of our church that we become so casual, we practically don't know anything. You get what I'm saying? Today you ask people, what is the difference between a Methodist and a Baptist? Most people may not know. Not to say we are going back to a dividing line, but we want to know what is our distinctive. And so the problem is this. If I ask you right now, okay, let's do an experiment. Next 2 minutes. Turn to your neighbor. All right, turn to your neighbor. The question is very simple. How will you describe First Light to a first-time visitor? All right now, 2 minutes, turn to your neighbor. How will you describe First Light to a first-time visitor? All right, some of you are stuck. And you're not the visitor. Now you should ask the visitor, how will you describe us? Today we have a visitor, Amelia, and she can tell you what you think of us. How will you describe us? I think in many ways we say, oh, we are good. My pastor look good in pink or something like that, you know. We can say that, you know. Most of us sometimes have problem describing ourselves. You get what I'm saying? And we have been here for longest time. I'm not talking about anyone who's new here, but we have been here for longest time. So imagine, if you can't describe yourself, you can't be authentic. And how are you going to go to a generation of people who wants you to be authentic, but you can't describe what you really believe in, who you believe in, why you believe in him? And this is where what I'm saying is, Gen Z is asking for authentic encounter of God. But we ourselves must also have an authentic encounter of God. And so while Ashbury is happening in America, something happened in UK. You can see in the next slide. It's reported in the Anglican Link. And y'all can look at the link, take a picture. For the first 20 years, UK was invaded by a new thinking called the New Atheist. The New Atheist, they say that all problems is caused by religion. If there's no religion, there's no problem. But for 20 years, they discovered through research by sociologists was that people now have become more confused because where there is no truth, everything becomes truth. There's no objective truth, which is Jesus Christ or God. And then there's a rise of mental health problem among young people, and that's what today we see the cultural war. So what happened is a lot of young people are becoming or going to know God again. The man that you see, his name is Tom Holland, not the Spider-Man. Okay, but Tom Holland is quite a famous intellect in the United Kingdom. He actually was agnostic. He was actually an atheist, but he saw the cultural shifts over 20 years. And that began a journey for him. Is there a God? And subsequently, he said, maybe there is a God. But Tom Holland, in his journey, he was told that he actually had a terminal illness and he had to go for operation. But then because of COVID happening, the whole hospital was filled up, so he couldn't go to the hospital at all. And what happened was this. He was so desperate because by that time, the sickness had spread all over his body. And then he went to the cathedral one day and say, I'm desperate. God, if you are there, shall we wait for that person? All right. Now, say, God, if you are real, if you are really real, heal me. And finally, he got an appointment to go to the hospital. They found no trace of his sickness. And that begins his own faith journey. Young people are looking for something. But it must be on us. If you and I are not authentic, then how can we make an impact for people asking, what do you believe, who you believe, why you believe? Many years ago, about 25 years ago, I have a privilege to go to preach in the United Kingdom. And I went to this church dedicated by this great evangelist of the 1930s, 1940s, and his name was Gypsy Smith. And Gypsy Smith was really a gypsy who came to know Jesus Christ. And he incidentally was a Methodist. Now, not because I want to sound biased, but all revival has a Methodist origin. Ashbury Outpouring. Pastor, you purposely choose your example, yes. Now, the thing is this. Gypsy Smith was a great revivalist of his time. And he preached revivals upon revival. But one question people often ask him, how do I get into revival mode? Or how do I pray for revival? And he will take a chalk and then he will draw a circle around the person and say, revival starts inside this, within this circle. If you really want revival, draw a circle around you. It starts with you. It starts with you. You ask for something that you give God no rest until he does something within you. And this happened Few months ago. I was talking to a friend of mine. He's a pastor. And honestly, he doesn't have a temperament of a pastor, I'll tell you. He's not very friendly as a person. So I asked him, how did you become a pastor? I said, well, I prayed to the Lord as a teenager, what do you want me to do with my life? And see, he heard God or Jesus saying to him, do you love me? He said, Lord, I love you. He said, okay, I want you to become a pastor. But he said, me being a pastor, I don't like people. And the Lord said to him, I didn't ask you to like them. I asked you, do you love me? He said, Lord, I love you. Then the Lord said to him, can you let me love my people through you? Can they know that I love them through you? And that was his point in which the Lord, I'm willing. So he went to Bible school, graduated to send to a church. But he doesn't have the temperament of a pastor. So he went to church. He didn't really care for the people in a sense. There's nothing in him. He just go through the system, like just preach and does. And one day, a lady came to him, broken by life. Broken by life. So he did sit her down, hear her story. But as he heard the story, something happened within him. He felt for this woman. He felt for her struggle. And he said, sister, can I just pray for you? And began to pray for her and say, Lord, help this sister through this most difficult time. Tears was just begin to shed and he began to sob and he just prayed for that sister. So he was standing over her and everything was dripping on her and now she was praying. But then something broke in him. Said, Lord, I do not just pray for her who is suffering. I pray for every member who is suffering in my church. And then he didn't stop praying. Said, Lord, I just pray for everyone in this city, in my suburb, in everywhere that who is suffering right now. And he told me, Richard, that day, I knew I'm a pastor. Not because of my title, but something broke in me. We must be affected without being infected. You know, people come to church, sometimes we hear each other struggle, our challenges, our story. We can be infected. We can live feeling more blue after that. We may feel more burdened. But we should be affected that my brother is suffering, my sister is suffering. And I must ask myself, and are they, who am I to you, Lord? If you ask someone, are you a Christian? Sometimes we just say, I'm a Christian by the lowest denominator. Oh yes, I say sinner's prayer 50 years ago on Easter Sunday. That is the lowest denominator of being a Christian. But are you following Jesus? Last week I shared from Peter. Peter says what? From faith, you add on to virtue. From virtue, you add on knowledge. From knowledge to self-control. From self-control to steadfastness. To steadfastness, godliness. From godliness to brotherly affection. And brotherly affection, love. Although it's not in scripture, but I tell you on the day we see Jesus, there's going to be a one question test. Okay, it's not scriptural, okay, but this is my guessing. The thing he's going to ask before we enter into glory, he say, have you loved people? I think that will be the question he asks. Why I'm saying this, is that it's not about being a pastor, whether I like people, but do I love the Lord? And let the love of the Lord flow to me, to others. But it doesn't just for pastor alone. It can be us as leaders. For instance, you can be a worship leader because you have been appointed, because you've been trained. But there will be a tipping point that you know you are truly a worship leader because you encounter God. Like a couple of weeks ago, the way I hear Michelle sing, I know she is truly now a worship leader. Michelle, are you there? Okay, pass. Just remember the question, you go to heaven, Jesus is going to ask you, right? The answer you better know. I give you cheat sheets already so you know the answer. when you hear people worship or hear people minister, there must be that tipping point. They are no longer just doing this. I'm just a worship host. I'm just preparing communion. I'm just a welcome host. It's still very raw, oriented, and not authentic. How do you know you're really a good children ministry leader? When you're like my friend, you begin to cry for kids who are struggling. And not just your own kids or the kids in our church, but the kids of the city. It must go beyond, you got what I'm saying? Because this is the heart of the Lord. God is doing something. And simultaneously, what was happening in Ashbury, it was happening in the United Kingdom. There's always what I call revival happening anywhere. Right now, there's a greatest revival happening, almost unreported. It's happening in Iran. The mosques are getting empty because people are going to know the Lord Jesus. Every day, we are talking about at least 20 to 50,000 Iranians calling upon the Lord Jesus Christ. When we look at the revival happening of old, Pentecostal movement or charismatic movement, we think it's an American product. It is not. What was happening in 1901 when the Bible school, they say is a gift of the Holy Spirit still relevant? And the first thing they lay hands on this lady, the first thing she started to speak was in a Chinese dialect, Fu Chao. And for a whole week, she speak nothing but Fu Chao. And that begins something that just spread across. But almost at the same time, there was a revival which was unheard of by most people. It's called the Pyongyang Revival. That was when Korea was still Korea, not North and South. And the Pyongyang Revival happened right in Pyongyang, the capital of the time. And it was such a huge revival that Christianity was or put it, Korea at the time was a very hard ground. But Christianity began to grow because of the revival, and the revival opened the door to great revival happening in China, in Russia. You know, things are happening. I'm sharing this with you is that something God is asking us, just like He's asking my friend. Can you love people? Can you love me? And let my love be seen through you. I'm glad that this is something which was a burden that I carried for the past year or so about the next generation. And Joanne and I make a commitment that, Lord, we want to do something for the Gen Z, for the Gen A. Even for the next 10 months, you know, I'm sort of a slow landing, right? But something is stirring in my heart. And almost the same week, I got a call from John Hutchinson from Churches of Christ, W.A. Kokwa. He said, Richard, I would like you to sit in our board, to be a board member, because our heart is for the next generation. I said, oh, that's interesting. I put on the phone. Then a couple of hours later, I got a call from Amit. Uncle Richard. I said, yeah. The Lord wants me to start this whole new organization called Next Movement Plus 8. And it is really a heart towards young people, especially those who are going through this sense of stress and suffering from mental health situation. I say, yes, what do you want? Right? He say, I'd like to sit in the board. Oh, I'm fully persuaded. But then one day, I'm now in two board. I must be the most boring person, you know. But I think God has put me strategically, and I think we both in law, it's not just me. I thank God for our leadership, for all you who can release me into these spaces. And what we can do is God is doing something. Right? And I would encourage you to sign up for the Beyond Conference. It's one of the many torches that God is lighting across our city. It's not the only one. If you can make it, make it. But I encourage you to make it because you want to catch on to something. You want to be authentic. You want to be real with God. The next thing I want to say to you is because Kokwa caught on to something, Churches of Christ caught something, it sent about a good number of young people across to Eastern State. About 20 of them went because the Ashbury team, was flying to this church, and they were so-called encouraging them to catch on to the outpouring. Okay, next slide, and I will close this sermon. So in June, a group of them, you can't read it, it's okay, you know, just let me tell you, in June, young adults from 9 churches went from WA to Melbourne for a weekend to catch the 24/7 prayer conference. And it was called Sowing for a Great Awakening. When we heard first-hand testimonies from students and staff who were part of the Ashbury Outpouring Revival in America last year. Since then, there's about 1,000 sermons, podcasts, all about what was happening at Ashbury. But Ashbury is not saying, come to us as if we are the Mecca, but rather catch on to something. There is something God has for us in this city called Perth. Times of refreshing is coming, and more is to come. Because Perth, I will tell you, is a spiritual center of Australia. Okay, I'll have more to say about this in subsequent sermon, but this is what I need you guys to catch on to. And so there's going to be a gathering on the 24th of August, 6:30, at Livestream Church, at Como. And it is not for Gen Z, okay? They want to encourage the city to come to pray. But if you're a Gen Z, just rock up. But even not Gen Z, also rock up. There's no ages in the kingdom, right? But rather, we want to, some of us are Gen Z. And actually, I was saying to you, those of you who are Gen Z, I'm jealous for you because I wish I'm your age again. I can pretend to be, right? But the thing is, you are going to see the greatest move of God in your lifetime. And I'm glad I'm saying that people like us, Joanne, myself, Sang, Rina, everyone else, we're like midwife, we're helping you to give birth to something. We are fanning the flame, we're helping you. So sign up for it. No need to sign up, just turn up, just rock up, but something is going to happen. Right, all ages are welcome. Because what we must bear in mind, as they say, don't get tripped over words like outpouring, revival, restoration, all this. This, as they say, is just a level of intensity. But what is important is we need revelation. We need the revelation. God is with us. God never leaves us, forsake or forget us. Revival can come and go. Times of refreshing can sometimes just be like a shower, but God wants us to go more than just a shower. He wants us to soak and soak and soak. You take a shower only when you are sweaty or you smell. But God wants us to take us to something much more permanent, something much more greater and richer. You eat only when you're hungry. And God doesn't want us to have the fellowship because we're hungry. He wants us to have an appetite for Him. Not just an appetite, but a voracious appetite. And I will tell you, in closing, God works with those who works with God. If you believe this is your assignment, if you have sensed the Lord saying to you as well, do you love me? And can you let me love others through you? Do you love me? And can you let me love others through you? If this is something you can discern from the Lord is for you, I invite you to stand up where you are because we want to pray. We don't want to prolong this, but you know that, Lord, I love you. I love you, Lord. And I want you to use me. I want you to love others through me. Raise your hands, people, where you are right now. Father, we come in humbleness. We come as sons and daughters. We come as we are, but we come with expectation that, Father, you It is you who make all things possible. And I thank you for the revelation of your word that you have prepared us for good works beforehand. Long before we were born, even formed in our mother's womb. That our stories are all connected to your story. I thank you for my brothers, my sisters who stand up. Because, Lord, these are people who mean business with you. And I pray that, Lord, we will give you no rest until your purpose is established in our lives. That, Father, I pray for restoration of all things. What has been stolen, Father, in Jesus' name, I pray you restore to them. The years in which the locusts have eaten away, Father, restore back to them. But Father, not only restore them their joy over their disappointment, restore their energy over their restlessness. Or restore their strength over their shame. But Father, in Jesus' name, whatever gifts they need for what lies ahead, that Father, for every hand that is lifted, I pray will be healing hands. There will be hands that, Lord, when they lay hands on people, people is going to receive healing through you. That Father, in Jesus' name, the hand they raise in worship is going to shift the spiritual atmosphere of wherever they are in. Because Father, they bring forth the blessing of the thin place where heaven meets the earth. That they become the touch point of heaven because, Lord, you have placed them in different spheres of influence. That Father, every word they utter by your Spirit will never fail or fall. But it will go forth to accomplish its purpose. Because Father, from now till the next few months ahead, I know in Jesus' name we're going to hear good reports. Powerful reports. Something is going to stir. Church, pray for yourself that, Lord, I want to pass that tipping point. I don't want to be a Christian by the lowest denominator. I want to be a Christian that truly called out to be sons.